Okay, let's quickly recap where we've been. Okay, so remember we got onto this. The Gemara had said that to buy land from to sell land to a non-Jew or rent it out to a non-Jew, right, is going to create a hafka'ah. It's considered problematic because you're removing a chiv from a maestro. Gemara said that's not the same as mezuzah, and then it says because mezuzah is chovat hadar, right, is the obligation of the person who lives there, which, whatever it means something about the obligation devolving on something to do with living. That's all we know. It comes up in the context of the Gemara of explaining why a renter is chayev rather than the balabayit, rather than simply the person who owns the real estate. But as we've seen, there is a division amongst the Mefarshim, whether what Chovat Hadar means literally is, right? The literal translation is the obligation of the one who lives there. So that's one way of taking it, right? Then it has nothing to do with the house. It's just an obligation on a person, which maybe he can only accomplish if he happens to have a house which has doorways. But fundamentally, the obligation devolves on the person, right? That's all there is to it, right? It's almost as if, right, the house is a technicality, maybe, right? Let me.
Is this like it's a requirement?
Well, it's kind
for
of
one the, you, for the person.
Right, meaning he has to put. The person has to put a mezuzah on all his doorways. If he has no doorways, he doesn't have to put it anywhere. But the obligation's on him. It doesn't inhere in the house. Uh-huh. Right? It's not in the house in any way, shape, or form. Right? That's sort of the extreme way of taking chovat hadar. Right? The other way of taking it, as we've seen, is to say, no, it is related to the house. So what's the difference between that and, let's say, the land in Eretz Israel? Why is it that selling land to a guy is considered removing a potential chiyuv, but selling a house
is
not?
A Jewish owned house.
Correct. Meaning, it's not, like, Eretz Israel is, by its nature, inherent, intrinsic in the land is the potential of Truma Maestrod. In a house,
it's only a
right?
House.
It's a, yeah, maybe the obligation does devolve on the house, right? Meaning, once there's a Jew living there, now the house requires, right? We look at it from the perspective of the house, but it's a Jewish house. But as soon as it's a Jewish inhabited house, right? But I'll say Jewish house for now. Right? And therefore, when a Jew is not there, there's no obligation and potential. Okay? Now, we've seen a few nafkaminas to this so far. One we've seen is Goy plus Jew.
Jewish owned, but nobody lives.
Right? So the Rashba says, right? The Rashba says, Chayav. Why? So we've seen this many times, that there seems to be, the people who focus on the person have this hashkafic notion, namely that
it's for Shmira. So therefore,
correct, it's for Shmira.
There's a Jew there.
There's a Jew there, so you're chayav, that's all there is to it. Here, the Mordechai, quoting Rabbi Avigdor, quoting Reb Chaim Cohen, say, right, no, because... Right, yes, it's a Jewish house, which we've defined as Jewish inhabited house for these purposes.
But it's
right?
Not a Jewish house. It's
but now it is a shared house, right? This is a shared dwelling, right? It's not called a Jewish house, and therefore it's pater, right? The second nafkamina that we've focused on a lot is, right, is there any meaning to ownership? Right, now we haven't seen these so much inside. You have seen some of them. Rashi, as probably the paradigm or the Rambam, says very clearly that mida araisa, if something is rented, are you chayv in mezuzah, and you are the renter.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Right, meaning it's only the person living there. That's it. But we've seen the Tosvos, and this is the Rush as well, and several other Rishonim say maybe it's a Jewish house. But you actually need two meanings of a Jewish house,
so
right? Two definitions:
Jewish
meaning,
owned and Jewish inherited.
Right, owned,
inhabited,
and inhabited.
Sorry.
Right. If it's both, then d'oraisa.
If it's only one or the other.
If it's only one, no. If it's only inhabited. So then it is Durabanan. But, and this is something Rav Lachamsi noted, even according to Tosfos, it's clear that why are we setting up the Durabanan this way, right? Meaning, what does Tosfos say? Tosfos says that, let's say, You have a Jewish-owned house. Or let me put it differently, right? If Tosfos says midaraisa, you need it to be both owned and inhabited. Okay? But he says midarabanan, as long as it's Jewish inhabited, you're chayev, meaning a renter. Why is it that Nachum's 11th house in the cottage, right, his 11th house, the cottage that no one lives in, right?
Oh, we just said this.
Right. So why is it, but now here, let me, this is a question we didn't deal with. Okay, this is now new. Right? Why isn't, right, Tosfos basically says what? That there are two definitions to something being a Jewish house. Is it Jewish owned or Jewish inhabited? Midaraisa, you're only chayav if you have both. Midarabanan, even if it's only inhabited. Right? Let me ask you a question. Why doesn't he say that a Jewish owned house where no one lives is at least chayav darabanan? Right? Meaning, what's the logic of Tosfos? If Tosfos says that what? That you need two definitions for d'oraisa. If you have one of them, it's d'rabanan. Then Tosfos should have said what? If you have a Jewish renter without a Jewish owner,
or a Jewish
owner without a Jewish renter, both of them are chayav midrabanan. But he doesn't do that. Right? He says, right, he has three levels. If it's owned and inhabited, it's chayav d'oraisa. If it's inhabited without owned, it's chayav d'rabanan. But if it's owned without inhabited, it's pater legamre. Right? Why? Right? Why doesn't he just say that, look, two conditions d'oraisa, either condition d'rabanan, no conditions pater. Right? Zur Luchenstein pointed out, because even according to Tosfos, which is primary of these two?
The inhabitant.
Right? Inhabitants.
Right?
Right? And therefore, even on the even though he thinks it's d'rabanan, the fact that he chooses the inhabited one as the one to which we build the d'rabanan on, it still shows that one's primary for him. Okay, yesterday we dealt with another question, which was, right, the 30-day p'tur, right? What does it mean? This black marker doesn't work very well.
There was two possible.
Right? So we saw there's two ways of understanding a 30-day p'tur, right?
One
again,
is that,
even within the d'rabanan, is one to say that it's about...
He has 30
right,
days to put up.
Right? Right? 30 days until chayev. Right?
Or that if he's going to stay there for more
right,
than...
Right? The other
days.
Is, it's, right, by length of rental.
He's chayev from day one.
Right? Right? So he said that this may come down to this question also. If you think that you have 30 days until you're chayev, that's because you're focusing on the person. That until you've been there 30 days, you haven't really settled down. But if you think, no, it goes by term of rental, right? So then it's not about the person, it's about the house, right? If I'm going to be there for 2 weeks, this isn't a Jewish house, it's an Airbnb. If I'm going to be there for the summer, so it's my, it becomes the Jewish summer house, right? To use the example that Nachum used, it's the bungalow colony, right? The bungalow colonies in the summer become...
A Jewish bubble.
Become Jewish, right? Jewish bubbles in the middle of nowhere, right?
Yes.
Right? Right, as opposed to the, as opposed to, let's say, right, the new big thing, the last few years has been the in Florida, in Orlando, they have a bunch of essentially Airbnb houses, right? That Pesach time.
Oh my gosh!
Have you seen this? Right, it's cheaper than a hotel. Right, instead of going to a hotel, Donnie knows what we're talking about. Instead of Pesach hotels, now the new thing, which is cheaper, is that you can rent. Correct. So Pesach hotels are more like $7,500 or $10,000 a person for Pesach, right? So this new thing in Orlando is you can rent a house, like a 5-bedroom house, with a pool, you know, in like a rental area or a timeshare area or something like that for Pesach. And there's like a organization that charges you like $3,000-$4,000 for the whole house for Pesach, and they kosher it for you, and then you can buy food from a caterer, right? So instead of it costing for your family of six, you know, whatever, $50,000-$60,000, it costs you $6,000-$10,000, right? Still expensive, come on, right? But I'm not saying it's not expensive, right? But it's still, there's madrigas, right?
All right, instead of spending...
Or you could stay home.
Instead of spending
$25,000, or of course, as a rabbi, you can hope to one day be the scholar in residence on these, right?
You become a Jewish singer.
Yeah, I'm good.
Shimon, if you become a singer, you'll go on these for free, you know?
I go on There you go.
Runs a camp. Runs a program in Florida.
But the point is not. The example was not the point. The point of that was that those houses don't become Jewish houses. Right? Everyone understands that this is not now a temporary Jewish dwelling.
It's an Airbnb.
Right? It's a Pesach program. Right? Right?
Specifically on that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, everyone understands. Everyone's there in and out for 8 days. Right? 9 days. Whatever it is. And then they're gone.
You're not
right?
ever going to maybe live
right?
there.
Right? That's not like whatever, it's pick your bungalow, right? Whatever. It used to be like Beaver Lake. I don't know if it still is. And yes. Clearview and, you know, Vacation Village and all this stuff. And I've been to them.
Really? Beaver Lake is still big. Clearview is...
Is it? I don't know. When I was a kid, it was big. So I used to go to my friends who had bungalows.
The names of these bungalows are literally just generic Hollywood, like rehab centers.
Anyways.
Clearview.
Fine.
Break from all the jobs
okay.
you're doing.
I know I've thrown this out a few times, but I just want to point out that the question of whether a Jewish rental is chayav d'oraisa d'rabbanan, we've seen Tosfos, and as we'll see in the moment that Nizer, the Rosh agrees that it's d'rabbanan. It's Rashi and the Rambam who think that no, a rental is really chayav d'oraisa. Yeah.
But the thing is, you could also you said like if he rents a house in like the whole Miami thing, yeah, for certain 8 days. So you could also think the same thing about the bungalow colony also.
Correct. And that, but in halacha, we define it by 30 days, right? That the cutoff point is 30 days. That's what I'm saying. Is that
with the Pesach?
With the Pesach, no. With the Pesach program, you wouldn't even.
Right. The way Aruch HaShulchan takes it, or Yaakov Elisa, is he's saying, look, right? Is he saying, right? Meaning, just understand. I'm just explaining you what Yaakov Elisa is thinking, right? He's thinking that, look. Or you know, let me describe. Maybe if I describe the mush a little bit more, it'll help, right? Okay. What Rabbi Yaakov Melisa right says that when the Gemara says that you are putter from putting a mezuzah if you're not going to be there for 30 days, it doesn't mean that you have to wait 30 days. It means that if you're going to be there in the end for 30 days, then it's chayev. And I said that the reason is because I think he's focusing more on it being a Jewish home or a Jewish house rather than on the person. Why do I say that? So if you know anything about these bungalow colonies, you probably have something like that in Switzerland, right?
We have that in Holland. We call it the center.
But fine. So like you go to a place like Beaver Lake or Clearview or whatever, right? The second everyone moves in there, right, the first day that they move in, whatever that is, right? I don't care if it's, I don't know if it's July, the end of June, if it's Memorial Day, whenever they move in, right? From that moment, right, from day one, right, they treat it like it's their home. Right? They treat it like it's their home. Right? They leave stuff there, right? They leave stuff there from year to year. They have a shul, a permanent shul, right? Like even if it's not active during the year because no one's there in the winter, like they have a standing shul. Right? Why? Because the plan is that this is their summer home. Right? And therefore, even from day one, they treat it like a Jewish home. As opposed to this place in Orlando, right? Yes, even if people come every year Pesach, they don't buy a building to be a shul, right? They like rent an extra house and they make it the shul for Yontif, or they pick somebody's basement and it's right. And you know, in Beaver Lake there's a makolet, right? There's whatever, right? There's a supermarket. They have kosher food. Here they don't set up a kosher store. They set up a deal with Amazon, right? With Amazon Deliver or whatever. That they no, seriously, this is what they do. I'm not like they're not like theoretical, right? They do like online deliveries of food, or they get from a caterer, right? Not in Orlando, from like South Florida, right? Like Miami or something, where there actually are Jews, right? Not in Orlando, right? Or I think one year they did it from like Maryland or something. I don't know.
They go to the Fountain
Blue. Whatever they do, right? But my point is, right? What's the difference? That if you're planning on being there for a month or two, you set up infrastructure. Right? From day one, you relate to it as your home. If you're only going to be there, sacha kol, 7-8 days, you don't bother. Right? Now, think about it. If it wasn't Pesach, naniach it wasn't Pesach. Right? Let's just take a vacation example. When people go to the bungalow colony, they have an oven, they have a stove, they have a toaster, they have a microwave. Right? When you go on vacation for a week or two to a hotel... So, you go out to restaurants, you live on a few boxes of cereal, you make yourself sandwiches, maybe you bring a you know, George Foreman's grill, or you use you bring one pot, or you bring one of these, you know, like we have over here, the one little thing, right? You don't bother buying. You buy the cheapest stuff, whatever, doesn't matter, right? Whatever, you live on ice cream. Think about the difference between you relate to it, right? When you go on vacation, so you live on going to restaurants and living on sandwiches and a few boxes of cereal and some granola bars and protein bars and whatever, right? You deal with it, right? If you're going to be there for a month, right? You go out, you make, right? If you're going to be there for a month or 2 months or 3 months, a year, already from day one, what's the difference, right? What's the difference, right? Why don't, right? Psychologically, why is it if you know you're only going to be there for 2 weeks, so you live on cereal and sandwiches, but if you, right? Why is it that when you go to your summer house, you don't say for the first 2 weeks, right? Why is it that the first 2 weeks you don't say, well, it's only the first 2 weeks, I'll just live on cereal for the first 2 weeks, right? And then 2 weeks in, wake up and say, oh, now I'm going to get an oven, right? Because once you know you're going to be there for 30 days, it changes your mentality from day one, right? So that's what Rabbi Yaakov Milisa is saying. He's saying it's not about how long you've been there. It's how long are you planning on being there? Because then from day one, that becomes a Jewish home. Right? I think it's true psychologically. Right? I mean, I think it's true psychologically. Right? Again, I don't have more than one house. Right? I don't know. For all of you, for Nachum has 11 houses. Right? Look, we can increase the examples, whatever you want. This is the beauty of imaginary things. Right? They cost no money. I can give you 50 houses. I can give you 100 houses. Right? You know, it's always funny when it's not imaginary. Sometimes I talk to people and then it's not imaginary, and that's when it gets, you know, more difficult, right? That's when it's like, oh, you really do have that. Let's pick a different example.
Gershom was 17 houses, actually 10. He wants to correct you.
No, like I've had friends who had, you know, I had at least one friend who had 5 houses, right? Jeez. Like, right, and each of those houses was, you know, worth 20 times what my house is worth, you know, in a chanami. That's when you talk to them, and it's like, okay, fine, right? You know, am I chayiv in it? This is my house, you know, only, you know, yeah, fine. You know, or people who are like, yeah.
A ton of money just leads to more halachic shalos. So just don't have a ton of money, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, but it's like the shalos that, you know, like, look, certain shalos, like, I just don't ask about myself, right? I might get from other people, I just don't ask, right? You know, like.
Paying for a hotel once a year, I bought a house, it saves me money in 2,000 years, you know, it will save up enough, you know?
Whatever it is, right? Okay, you know. Look, there are people who have shilas like this. What?
Seriously?
Of course there are people who have shilas like this. Whoa, I don't understand.
No.
If you talk to people who are wealthy enough, these are real shilas. I know. They have 11 houses, some of them they don't even show up to, they haven't used in years, right? You know, I have my house at home, I have my house near my grandparents, I have my house in Yerushalayim, I have my house in Tel Aviv, I have my house in...
Okay, you see, that's overkill. More than one in Israel? Okay, people definitely
actually, no, one.
Yeah, for sure.
One just in case I don't want to take the bus back from Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim.
No, we had someone who worked with Ora in Toronto, like was on the board, said like the way they made their money was that like years ago they like saved up and they bought, you know, a few apartments in Israel, and they were like invested in it, and like when things were cheap, and they said for like sachakol $1 million, so they got 10 apartments in Yerushalayim and 2 in Tel Aviv. You know, so like, you know,
now if you sell those, geez.
They don't sell it, they just rent them all out. They bring in rent. It's a lot of, you know, there are people, you know, people are in real estate. This is a thing, right? Right. Nachum, the broche. Well, I don't know if it's a bracha. Whatever you want to do, I don't know. There's no reason for 11 houses. I don't know what you do with 11 houses, right?
Be happy with 2, 1 in Israel, 1 year.
What?
No way. No way for kids.
It's like, I do know people like that too. Like,
they had 11 kids?
No, also had houses for each of their kids.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah, you know, some people do that. Like, my brother-in-law tells me that his aunt bought 14 houses on her block. Just for all her kids. And she has, like, one where she does her makeup and one where she... Unclear to me what is it?
I'm gonna go borrow some sugar from the coffee.
There are apparently people who do this.
I'm gonna go borrow some sugar from the neighbor.
It's a good thing. That's amazing.
Come on, why not?
Let's go borrow some sugar from the neighbor. Just walking. Alright.
there is no neighbor.
Exactly.
There is no neighbor. Exactly. I want no neighbors. I want no neighbors. Look, I remember I was once in, I won't say where, but whatever, I was in a very, very, very wealthy part of the Five Towns where houses are many, many, many millions of dollars, and there was like a construction project going on across the street where three of these massive houses were being consolidated into one house, and I was like, what is going on over there? And the answer was,
I don't want neighbors.
Nope. The guy wants to be able to have his grandkids over, but they're too noisy. So he bought three houses so that he'd have his house, and in the middle would just be dead space, and then his grandkids would be in the third house. But this way, it would be one house, but there'd be enough space in between. He wouldn't hear them. I'm like,
brilliant.
I'm like, look, there are people who have a different mentality towards houses. So
that's
like,
incredible.
So people like that, Hanami, they might have a house they don't live in, right? And then you really have to ask the Shaila, but anyways. Fine.
Genius.
What?
That's incredible.
Brilliant, right? Brilliant. Okay. Fine. Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
What does the check mean in the...
Chayev.
You're just obligated to?
Yes. Okay, let's look at the Avnei Ne'ezer. So now the Ne'ezer, Davar Beit Cholim, Uchiyah Mezuzah, Ki Yesh Cholim, Mishtayim Sham, Shnayim O'Shalosh, Chodashim. V'domus O'char Bayelach, Ashloshim Yom Chayev Mezuzah. So, when Ne'ezer said, I have a question. What about a hospital room where there are people who are there for 2-3 months... But here's his shayla. Now let's try to figure out, before we look inside, what is really his shayla?
Is it considered, are they considered renters? Like, is it considered
so if I had to sit, right, predict, right, what's the unique thing going on here?
It sounds more like an old age home than a hospital.
You mean somewhere in between. I don't know exactly what you're talking
about. No, my grandmother's like in a home, right? And like she has a room there. And that's literally her house, that whole room.
Right. So, but like, he's talking, right, I mean, he's not talking emergency room. He's talking
right.
More either a nursing home, a rehab center, something like that, right? It could be, it's probably more like the rehab center of a nursing home, Avada, you live there.
Right.
Right? He's talking more, I think, a rehab center.
Right.
Right? Right. Right? Where, like, you have a room, but you need doctors. So, like, you're there for a few months.
So, but it's also...
Right? But what's really the Shaila? Let's think about the Shaila. Why is this a good test case? Because what's he saying?
Because it's not permanent.
People are there
for more than
often for like 30 days.
Right.
But it's not really like a rental. Why?
Because you can't leave. You can't get out of it.
It's not like
you're there for
there
a certain amount of time.
In and out. It's not you coming in and out.
But we could get that out of it.
Yeah, right. Meaning, I think you might be
a surgery. You can't exactly shorten that recovery time.
No, I don't mean a drug rehab. I mean like rehab after recuperation.
Well, like even that. Unless I
don't mean
it's not a recurring problem. Then you're not going in and out. It's like one time of 2-3 months. Then you're done.
Correct. Meaning, and there isn't really a length of stay, right? What is it? It'll probably be 2 months. It could be one. It could be four. Right? It could be a week. Right? I mean, right. That's the point. Is that here, you could theoretically, if I had to formulate the lumdas behind the Shaila, is why this is unique, is that it's sort of a place where someone might be there for 3 months, but it's not really his house. Right? It never becomes his house. He's just, why? Because it's not dependent on time. He's there until he's healed, right? It could be a week, it could be 3 weeks, right? It could be 5 weeks, it could be 2 months, right? It could be that something will happen in the middle and end up being there extra time. It could be that he'll have to rush to the hospital for a few days in the middle, right? And therefore, right, if you think that it's on the Gavra, so for sure, after 30 days, you'd say, look, you're Chayev, right?
After 30. Oh, so it's not... Okay, fine.
But think about it. If it's on the person, so after 30 days, he's been living there for 30 days.
Right.
I don't know how much longer he's going to be here, but it doesn't matter. But if you say that, no, 30 days is just a siman, right? Right. In Hebrew, we call this siman and siba. Right? Siman siba, meaning...
Really,
or in English, right? How do you translate siman siba in English?
It's a sign and a...
Causation or correlation, right? Meaning, is it that being there 30 days is machayev the person, or that normally 30 days, right, correlates to this being your house, right? It signifies that you're living there. So after 30 days, he's been there, but it may not really be a Jewish house because, right, it's temporary in its definition, right? Right here, you could sort of split the 30 days, right? That's how I would have formulated the lambdas.
Not really 30 days.
How, what do you mean?
Right, meaning it could be, right?
When it says 30 days,
you could at least entertain the possibility that 30 days, it doesn't only mean 30 days.
It just means temporary.
It means non-temporary.
Non-temporary.
Right? Non-temporary.
That's,
it means arrive.
That's temporary. Right?
It means arrive, keva versus arrive. But it could be that, like, a rehab center, even
arise.
If you're there for 2 months.
Arise temporary.
Arise.
Well, you
right? Arise is not kavua, is not permanent. It's transient in nature.
Right, it's temporary.
But what do you mean by you could say...
Right, so I think transient is probably even a better word.
Transient.
But it's not that it's temporary, like, in the sense that it's not forever. It's that, like, its very nature is that you're in and out. Right?
That's what you mean by splitting it.
Okay.
That's what he means by what?
That's what I'm saying, is that maybe 30 days, right? I think this is the lambdas I would have asked on the Shiloh.
You know, you're
right?
Not
is
there.
Is when you say 30 days, right? Do we mean 30 days, like, because 30 days magically makes it permanent? Or is it because normally 30 days is a symbol that this is your summer house or whatever, and not just your Airbnb, right?
Okay.
But a rehab center might be sort of definitionally transient, right? Its very nature is like you're in and out,
yeah.
Right? And therefore, even if you happen to be there for 35 days, right? It's not like I could have been there for 25 days. I could have been there for 35 days. I didn't really know how long I was going to be there at the beginning, right? So that's how I would have formulated the question. Let's see what Yavni Yitzhar actually does. He says, "Dvar beit cholim mechuyam mezuzah ki yesh cholim shtayim sham shnayim o shlosha chadashim v'dom elasocher bayis lachar shloshim yom chayev mezuzah." He said, you have people in this hospital, rehab center, whatever. They're there for 2-3 months. It's sort of like rental, right? Tshuva. Hine bidinze yesh shlosha perushim. There are 3 ways of understanding this. Aleph. Peyush Rav Manoach, Shehevi Beit Yosef, Samin Sin Reish Peivav. There's Rabbeinu Manoach, who's quoted Beis Yosef. Da'ad shloshim yom have a dirat arai. Umash mavi dvarav, da'achar kach mukhuyav min ha-torah. What? Sof Siman. Until 30 days, it is temporary. And then afterwards, it is, right, which implies, right, he implies that this is all biblical. And that was the Havamina of Tosfot, remember? And this is the Maskana, seems to be a Rashi, right? Namely, that a renter after 30 days is Chayav Min HaTorah, until 30 days is not. Again, how you understand that, but Minat Torah. Right? Talat Beit Chad Lo Asal Shalachirim Rak LeDerech Bia Ach B'Sof Divreihem Minat Torah Olam Ptura After Beit Chad LeDerech Bia Tcham Yamin Atchotrei Beit Chad. But he said the Maskana of Tosfos was what? The Midaraisa you need owned and inhabited, and therefore even after 30 days it's only Midarabanan because it looks like yours. Kamechsi Kishalo.
It's
Chendas Arash, Mordechai, Arashba.
It's not actually yours, it looks.
Right, that it only looks, right? There's this. Right, that after 30 days it looks like yours, and that's why you're Chayav Midarabanan.
So it would actually have to be yours. Okay, yeah.
Midaraisa. Yeah, this is Tosos, right? He said that's possibility too, right? I mean, this is not a Chiddush. Possibility one is after 30 days, a Socher Chayav Midaraisa. Possibility two is that it's only Midarabanan, Midaraisa you need owned and inhabited. Right, that's Tosos, is Maskana. Because of a Rashba, the time, v'chein das a Rashba, but the middle of the Rashba, the Mezuzah, Pisco, in Adocha, Shabbos, Hol, V'yadola, Hafkiran. The Gemara says that Elazar would say that a Mezuzah, putting a Mezuzah in Adocha, Shabbos, because you could be Mafkir your house, right, you could make it ownerless. Because of a Rashba, the time of the Bayit Shel Hefker, Pater, Lo Adif Misocha, the Pater called Shloshim Yom. And the Rashba says, because making it Hefker is no different than renting. That's Perish 2. Perish HaShlishi. What's the third possibility? Who Perish HaTos is read. Sham Debayish Inashalo Pater. That any house that's not yours is exempt. Vizelishono. Habayish Mafkin Lokarin and Bay Bascha. The afal pi shechovas ador who chozeshel sechara mimenu havelay kechon of his chaver shen chayim mezuzah alkan l'shono. Right, he says there are 3 possibilities. Right, Marner of the Socher Koshiv ke shelo. So the way he formulates it is 3 ways. One is, now I'm not really sure how different these are, but he thinks, possibility one, let's just do this, right, is Tosos, is you need it to be owned and inhabited. Possibility two is, it needs to be, the way he understands Rabbeinu Menoach versus Tosos Rid is that the Tosos Rid thinks it's about being Jewish owned, but a 30-day rental makes it yours. Right? And the way he understands Rabbeinu Menoach is that, no, the reason you're chayav after 30 days is not because it's yours, but simply because the fact that you are there makes it that you are chayav. Right? So the way he understands it, there's a three-way machlokes. Okay? This is the Avnei Nezer. Right? The way he understands Rabbeinu Menoach, I think, is that it's totally a chova on the person. Therefore, after 30 days of living, I am chayav. And then he says that Tosfos and the Tosfos Rid divide within saying it's a chov on the bayit. Right? Tosfos says it's a chov on the bayit which needs to be owned and lived in. And the Tosfos Rid, the way he takes it, says that it's about yours, but as long as you live there, it's considered yours, even mida araisa. Right?
Even if you just live there, it's yours.
Correct. Meaning, there's two ways of saying why a renter is chayav mida araisa. One is to say that it's really on the person, right? And therefore, if he's there, he becomes chayav. The other way is to say, yes, it's a chovat habayit, but not a Jewish-owned house, a Jewish-inhabited, right? We've seen this before, right? So he says there's three possibilities. Either it's a chov on the person, and therefore, wherever a person lives for 30 days, he becomes chayav. Or it's a chov on the bayit, and that can break down into two ways. One is to say it's a chov on a Jewish inhabited home, in which case a renter is biblically obligated. Or you can say that midaraisa, it's biblically owned and inhabited. And midarabanan, it's even Jewish inhabited. Right, those are three possibilities, right? We've seen all this. It shouldn't be a chiddush, right? Now, there technically is a fourth possibility. One of my friends claimed that Rabbeinu Yonatan, which we saw in the Shinui Kubetzet, thinks that really the chob is on the owner of a house, but if there is a renter, he takes over the chob from the owner. It's a bit of a complicated formulation, which I'm not convinced of. But this is what he knows, right? So you have three possibilities. Pure person, and then within it being on the house, two possibilities. Either owned plus inhabited, right? Or inhabited is enough to make it like yours for these purposes, right? Those are the three possibilities. Fine. So now he says, Hine, Deh Rishonam Milvacha Rov Poskim Kenegda Israel Debaichin Oshamidaraisa Pitura. Right? So he thinks that the possibility that it's really on the person, he thinks that's a minority position. Right? I'm not convinced. Right? He thinks Rabbeinu Menoach is a minority. I'm not sure. It's Rashi, it's the Rambam. At least I would have said so. But okay. But he thinks it's against the Gemara. Hutamua Mishas Shabbos and Al Dabai Shel Hefker Patur. The problem is that the Gemara does seem to say that a house which is Hefker, right, which is ownerless, is exempt. And that which he says, if you're there for less than 30 days, that it's only temporary, who cares? That was a lot of words. But, right, what does he say? The Avnei says, I can't buy the pure, it's a chiyuv on the person. Why? His questions are, one, how could it be that an ownerless house is chayev? Sorry, it's pater. It's on the person, even if it's an ownerless house. If you live there, you should be obligated.
It's an ownerless house, but
yeah, you're a mafkir.
Still live there.
Yeah, you just walk into a shack, right? That's abandoned in the. Or you don't claim ownership. You just live there, right?
Isn't it like called squatting or something?
Yes. I mean, he says. Second of all, he says if it's a chov on the person, so why do? He says, so why does it matter if I'm there for 2 weeks or 2 months? As long as I'm there, and it's a place where you can live, I should be chayav from day one. And he said, why is it that I go to a hotel? He says, if you take the person to the extreme, then why don't you just say that whenever you go to a hotel, you got to bring a mezuzah with you. I'm living there for the night. right? Meaning he's saying, where does this 30-day thing seems to indicate that it's not just about people, it's about the house becoming Jewish, whether you take it as a Daraisa or Darabanan, right? It seems to focus, right? These time limits seems to push it towards an obligation on the house, right? That's how he takes it. The Rayal is that Beit Tevin Shechayim Mezuzah Benashim Mitkashtot Lekulayama After Lav Makom Pita Velo Makom Lina. He said, "I'll prove it to you from the fact that if you have a storage house where women use it to get right this my brother in law's aunt's house where she just gets dressed. I don't know what that means. That was his example. I don't know if it's true, right? It's she doesn't eat there. She doesn't live there. But that's enough." Right? That's enough. Ach mishum shabayat royal adira. Why? Because it's a place
where you could live there.
Right? Because you could live in it. Why am I told Erevin? He says, even though we don't agree with this, right? We say if no one lives there, you're not chayiv. He says, "Ayn Rashi, the ain chiyuv rak bedar midechziv derech biatzchav azei nafkamin letzorech ma'u ba im ledir letzorech teven liyishomrim nashim likshav imkain betoch shloshim nami lechayiv." I said, what that shows you though is that it's simply about the living, right? And if you really focus on the living. Right? I mean, if you focus on the living, you should be chayav as soon as he gets there. Right? But that's not how we take it. We focus not just on the fact that he's living there, but is it a place where you could live? Right? And then once you could live there, if you do anything there, it becomes chayav, right? So it's not about you actually living there. It's about it being a livable place that you do anything in. Right? Which is not, right? This is not your main house. You just get dressed there. But the fact that they're giving it a bit of a halam, you know, that you're chayav, right, tells you that it's not about the person because he doesn't live there. Right, it means that if it's a livable place where I do any activity in, the Gemara at least entertains the possibility that you're chayav because that makes it a Jewish inhabitable, quasi-inhabited house. Right? So Miel, she did just as ready, Shlomar. The Pirish Kol Shloshim Yom Padam and Azuz, Hainu Mishum Shannon Sorval Rach Lashoshim Yom. When it was ever, came and debate by his Hainu Diras Keva, but who ain't los Kos Ladderbo Keva. And he said, now according to just as ready, however, right, even on a Daraisa level, right, after 30 days, I become Chayev. The reason is because it needs to be not just living, but Dirat Keva. Right? So he says, right? He is not willing to entertain this because he has no good way of explaining why, if it's an obligation on the person, you need specifically Dirat Keva. But he says, I understand that if it's about the Jewish house, so you could say that Dirat Keva is enough to make you Chayv Midoraisa, the Tosfos read, or enough to make you Chayv Dirabanan, according to Tosfos.
What is Keva?
Permanently, or consistently, non-transient, right? Not really permanent, but not non-permanent, right? Non-transient. So now he comes back to the Shaila. He says, he says, a rehab place, or a hospital, you are there for multiple months, and potentially, if you were in the person camp, you would say, Chayav. But he says, when you go to a hospital, do you own your room?
No.
Not at all. You deserve, right, you pay
for
the right to be in the hospital, the rehab center, right? But you don't actually own the room, right? You're in the rehab center and they put you in a room, right? But this isn't your room, right? If you become, right, like you think about these places, right? They have a lot of these, they're like mixtures of old age homes and nursing homes, right? Like assisted living. So if you go to the hospital, so then you'll spend 2 weeks in the nursing home side of it, right, for rehab. And then once you get a little bit better, we'll move you back into the assisted living where you need less help.
How's that different than renting, though?
Because the renter, you have a room and they can't kick you out. Right, he says in a hospital, right? Do you know how many times, when I was in the hospital after Mayer was born, when I was there, 30 hours? We were in 3 rooms, right? 4 rooms, right? It's like, you go to the room for, right, the delivery, and then after the delivery, they move you into the first room, and then, we don't have room in there, we'll move into another room, right?
The worst.
Right? Like, hospitals, right? What's he saying? He's saying, look, if you say purely on the person, So then I understand that if you're there 30 days, you're chayav. But remember what? But if it's on the Jewish house, right? It requires it to be a Jewish house, then it's not really about 30 days, right? Daraisa or Darabanan. What's it about? Does it look like yours? So, according to the Tosfos Reid, it's Daraisa. It is yours. After 30 days, it is Jewish inhabited. Right, or if you're, sorry, if you're going to be there for 30 days, it's Jewish inhabited. But the Yavne Nezer says that's only true in an actual rental. But in a rehab center, in a hospital, even if you're there for 6 months, it never becomes yours. Right? It never becomes yours.
Yavne Nezer doesn't consider it as a rental.
That's what he's saying. It's not a rental. He says, "If Domal Adam Amar Bavaser Shchid Me Rasham Ar Yadur Ploni Zel Amar Klum Shul Hikn Lo Beis Ladir Achanami Nen Lo Chacha Beis Lo Klal." He said, "This is not your house at all." So what does he say?
Why do you stay in a rehab center? Yes, you're paying for it, no? I
mean, yes, so.
So is your kind of, you know?
You're not. Because it's not a rehab center's work. You're not buying a room.
A renter gets to choose where he stays.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that's what he's saying. Even if you're 30 days, right? He says there's three possibilities. Remember, right? He had pure chov on the person, so then he says you should be chayev. Tosfos raised the other extreme, which is that it's a chov, that once you're going to be there for 30 days, it's a Jewish house. Midaraisa. So then he says, for sure you're not chayev. Why? Because it's not yours. But he said, what's the shayla? Where does he have a shayla? Tosfos. Why? Because what does Tosfos say? Tosfos says that midaraisa, you're only chayev if what?
If you own and
if you own and inhabit. But midarabanan, you're chayev if?
If you inhabit it.
If you inhabit it. Why? Because it looks like it's yours. So now he says, wait a second.
Yeah, but the hospital...
Oh, so he says, now I got to think about it. Right? He says, if you think that it's on the person, so you'd sure, for sure be chayev. If you think that by living there for 30 days, normally that means that it's yours and you're chayev midaraisa, in a rehab center it's not yours. Because, right, if they decide that you're too ill and you have to go back to the emergency room, they'll put you in the emergency room. If they think you're better and they need the space for somebody else, they'll kick you out, or they'll put you in the assisted living part, right, and not in the rehab, right? That's what they'll do. Right? This is like Maisim B'chol Yom. Right? This is Maisim B'chol Yom. I'm not like, right?
There's a generation going down over here. This
right?
Down.
But he says, but if you think the middle position of Tosfos, namely, that midaraisa, it's owned and inhabited, but midarabana, and once you're in a place for 30 days, rabbinically, you have to put up a mezuzah because it looks like yours. So now you got to think about it. Does a rehab center, it's not yours, right? So you're not chayav midaraisa, but does it look like yours if you've been there for 6 months?
No.
Right, that's where
people know that it's not yours.
Yeah, but on the other hand, so let me ask this, I could say this very balabatishly, right? On the one hand, right, meaning without it much lumdus, right? I'm just saying, on the one hand, you could say that it doesn't look like yours because everybody knows this is a rehab center, and like, you know, they don't know how long you're going to be there. So if you're there for 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 6 months, everyone knows.
Leaving the next day.
Right. You know? That's on the one hand. But the other way is to say, look, if my chesed is that I go to nursing homes to visit people, right? So the first few weeks, right, I'll be like, oh, you're, you know, I'll see who I visit. Right? But after I've seen you for 10 weeks, right, you start to become a fixture. Right? Not you. Right? The random sick person, right, who's still there after 10 weeks.
It looks like that's his home now.
Yeah, meaning, even though I know in the back of my mind...
That one person.
Right? Meaning, right, you see it somewhere in between. Right? That's what I mean. It's in between.
Kind of a stretch, though.
Well, it's in between. That's what he said. L'shitas rova poskim anal. Right? And he thinks it's the majority of shitas and rishonim. So he says, d'midrabanan mechai mishum demechti kishalo yasha lashon zeh yesh lafarish b'shnei panim shal olam yachshavu shabayit shalo. Right? He says, there are two ways of understanding what does it mean that it looks like yours. Right? Oh, she'etzel ha'olam domeh bayit sachur kamo bayit shalo. V'inei she'yachshavu shalo pshitet lo shayach klal v'edecholim. He says, one is that a rental looks like ownership. And he says, that's true in a rental. It's not true, as Nachum says, in
a nursing
home. or in a rehab center. Sha'afilum hayeshalo im lo yachol le'becholim. Right? Because he says in a, not in a, whatever, not a nursing, a rehab center. Because in a rehab center, he said even, right, he says, even if you owned the rehab center, right, and you ended up in the rehab center, right, it wouldn't look like you're really living there. Right? Right? He's saying even the owner of the rehab center, right, if he's there, he may get special treatment, but no one thinks he wants to stick around forever. Right? Yes. Everyone understands you're only there because you're sick. Right? Because context shows that this is temporary. Right? It's just for sick people who require rehab. Right? Right? Right, now the other way you could have said it.
Wait, did you really, really notice now?
What?
I'm joking.
Did you, I thought you knew.
You notice they were stealing that?
It's okay. I have all the markers.
Not if I take one of those.
No.
And erase what I have already up there?
Yeah, we're like in the middle of the chart.
Yeah.
Rabbi Zern. He said fine.
What?
Fine.
No, it's okay. You can erase it.
Let's draw around it.
Okay. Right now, the other way to take it again would have been the way I said before, right? Is that maybe, right? Maybe you look at it not that way, right? But he tends on the way Nachum does, which is to say, if you think that 30 days isn't magic, 30 days is what makes it yours, right? Or makes people perceive it as yours. He thinks at the end of the day that a rehab center...
How do you look at 30 days?
Correct. So he ends up saying that he agrees with Nachum, and he says, no, the rehab center, right? Gama, for sure, according to Tosfos Rid, it's not your home. And even according to Tosfos, he says, it doesn't look like your home. Everyone understands contextually, right, what it is. It's okay.
So good. 30 days is not dafka 30 days. It's just that it's more temporary than a permanent. Like, it could be 6 months, but it's still
correct.
30 days.
Correct. Okay. Let's see. Skip down to 16. This is from one of my friends, Avi Bartov, and he quotes Rav Lichtenstein, and he, again, this was in Tosfos, and he says, Mori v'rabi Rav Lichtenstein, hey, here. Ki lo shona, what?
One of your friends?
Yes.
Cool.
Okay.
Kiloshen atozma nachos tumai. Atozma kosev shekayim rovet shachiv der abadim mezuzah. And itan lavin zod b'shnei panim. I said this before, right? That Tosfos says again. Midaraisa, you need both ownership and presence, inhabitants. Midarabanan, you only need inhabitants. But you can understand that in two ways. One is din mechzik shelohu chavara din daraisa shall buy it. Who beetsam archavat shall buy it. Right. One is the way I said it. Right. Which is that yes, midaraisa, you need both. But midarabanan, we expand the notion of ownership, such that inhabitants counts. Or midura chayv chadash vatzmish enu taloy b'bayit ela b'mador. Alternatively, we're inventing a new category, meaning biblically you need ownership, and rabbinically inhabitants is sufficient. Right? He says ha'optia shniya uta hiskir haral mefresh b'divrei haritva. He says the second one, which is to say that this is not an expansion of the daraisa, but it's a new halacha, seems to be the way that Ritva understood Tosfos. And you go back to 15. This is the Tosfos Ritva he's talking about. Perish read midaraisa tarte binan she abayit shalov shiyaderbo. Right, midaraisa, you need ownership and dwelling. Umidarabanan chova lechol adarbo avol bisheno beso. And midarabanan, you have to put up a mezuzah, even though it's not yours. It's not called your house. Right.
So he's going on Jewish inhabitants.
Right, meaning he's saying, but that's a chiddush. That midaraisa, you need Jewish ownership and inhabitants, and midarabanan, inhabitants is sufficient. Right, that's a new halacha.
That's what Tosfos said.
That's how he understands Tosfos. But I said there's another way of understanding Tosfos, which is, no, the midaraisa, you need it to be a Jewish house, which we understand as owned and inhabited. And midarabanan, we say, that living there is enough to make it yours. Not that it's a different machayev, right? It's an expansion of the Daraisa. Right? Okay. Right? And he says, Aral is Kishim Mohammed Levanon Rishon. Fine. And Aral is Kishim Mohammed Levanon Rishonah Shalu Tomidim Imiyashla Tate Mizuzab Batim Shinichurdu Ide Tzal Bakoroche Shahu Baem Yod Mishloshim Yom. So they said, where did this distinction become important? Again, this is similar to what we just saw in the Avni Nezer. Right?
Between this and what the Tosfos.
Ah, so what's the difference? So, we just saw that in the Avni Nezer, right? So now Rav comes and gives another nafkamina. He says, okay, he was asked by soldiers in the Lebanon War who set up temporary houses in Lebanon for more than 30 days. Right? What do you do? Are you chayev? Right? They conquered houses and they were there for more than 30 days. Are you chayev? So he said, "Arave vinchet verim tluyim machloket rishonim zu." L'sovrim ki mechayim derabanim mezuzah hu ba'alut bevayich nechbash l'tzrochim tzvayim zmaniim v'yuchzar lebaalav l'chora in chiyuv b'mezuzah. Hulam mechayim derabanim novem mimigurim nireh ki vayich nechbash v'avrut shloshim yom shel shehiyah bo yechayev mimezuzah. So he said, "It depends." He says, "Think about it." He says, "If it's." Fundamentally about what? Okay. Ownership. And then what? We say it's ownership plus inhabitants.
And now we're saying that.
And then we say midir abanan.
Inhabitants is good.
Sorry.
We're saying that.
But and he says if, how do you formulate it? Is it that midir abanan, inhabitants alone, makes it like yours? So then, these houses that we've temporarily conquered and we're going to give back, right? Are they chayev? Yes, because we live there. We've lived, right? We know the war is going to go on for a few months. Okay. But if, again, this is back to the Avni Nezer. If when we say that midaraisa, you need to own it and live in it, and midarabanan, we just expand it and say, no, once it looks like yours because you're living there, you're chayev, then what? The same Avni Nezer. If you're living there for more than 30 days, but it's clear from context
that you're going to be there.
For right, meaning he says, how do you look at Tosros? Is it that simply living there for 30 days is now a new Machayev Midarabanan? Or do you say that no, Midaraisa, your house, quote unquote, is a place you live in and own. Sorry, you own and live in. Midarabanan, when you live in it consistently in a context that make it seem like yours, then it's chayav. So this is the same as the Avni Nezer.
It kind of seems like this, that it's not really the inhabiting that is there, but it kind of seems like the ownership.
It's not. No, it's neither. It's neither. It's that, but at which point, then midaraisa, you need both.
Midaraisa makes it like you're owning it.
Exactly, right? That's exactly what he says.
Midaraisa would be on the ownership, not the inhabitants.
Correct, on the quasi-ownership. That's what he's saying, right? And again, the Avni Nezer said the same thing, right? The Avni Nezer said it's the Tosas Rid who thinks that living is a chayev, because living alone makes it yours.
Right?
But Tosos, the way the Avni Nezer understood it, was that no, the reason that Midarabanan you're chayev when you live there, even if you don't own it, is because at some point it looks like yours. But therefore, it's not that living itself makes it yours.
Right.
It
looks like yours.
Right?
It looks kind of like you own it.
Right. It's an expansion of it being, right, like yours. But therefore, if context makes it clear that what?
That it's
not, even though I'm there for more than 30 days, right? Like the Avni Nezer. Therefore, Lachumzin said, right, when someone's in a war, right, and they conquer a few houses and they live there until the war is over and then they give it back to their owners, right? Right, this is the buffer zone. So they take away the houses in the meantime and they have to, you know, they have to live in these houses that are on the buffer zone. Hey, everybody knows. So if you think that what Tosfos is saying is that after 30 days, the living there for 30 days is a mechayev, then you'd be chayev. But if you think that what he's saying is that no, living there for 30 days makes it that it seems like yours, it doesn't in this context, right? It's not an expansion of Beis Chab.
But in other words, you see the bigger picture. Right?
It's the same thing with the
houses.
Correct. I said this is very similar to the previous Shaila, right? To the
rehab center.
Bidyuk is the same thing.
Well, the Beis Chab third. Is also the same thing as the Beis Chab because they're saying exactly.
Correct. Now the third Shaila he asks is, right, so that's the army one. They got another one, what about a panimia? Right, a dorm. So Mori Virabi Aral Siper, Kirav Yitzhak Hutner, Hayano Heglo Marki, Pinabi Shiva, Mufkat Midin Mezuza. Zomi Shim Shikol Tamid Bishiva, Hulu Baila Machedro, Shikin Rosh Shiva, Yachol, Laifo, Bechol Eichu, Chavetu. Here's another nafkamina, right? What if you live in a dorm room all year? Oh.
Like we do.
So,
an entire year.
So here's the Shaila. So if it's on the person, so are you Chayev?
Yes.
Avada. Right? You're going to live there the whole year? You know you're living there the whole year. If you think that living in a place for more than 30 days, right? But, if you think that living somewhere for more than
30... It doesn't look like... We know it's not... It's kind of like the rehab. It doesn't look like...
Correct. And that's what Rav Putner said. That Rav Putner said, look, you're living there, but according to Tosas Rid, right, a dorm is more like a rehab center. Why? Now, I don't know if I buy this, but he says, why? Because the Rashiva could kick you out at any time. Right, you misbehave, you don't show up for Shacharis every day, you're out.
I like that.
Right, you're out.
I like that. So he says,
in a Chacham, you're living there all year, but context tells you that this isn't really yours, even after 30 days. And then Rav Lichtenstein says, what's Rav Putner saying, that if, again, within Tosfos, if Tosfos means that living somewhere 30 days is his own Machayev, like the Ritva understands, are you Chayev? Yes. But if you think that no, the reason that you're chayev when you live somewhere for 30 days is because normally that makes it look like yours and therefore it's expanded, it's beis ha, a dorm might not fit that bill. Right? Because at the end of the day, everybody understands that the Rosh Shiva's in charge.
And he could kick
and you out. Now, I will be honest, from the stories I've heard from Rav Lichtenstein about Rav Putner, right? This might have been particularly true in the world of Rav Putner, where you know, realistically, that was the way he related to his Talmidim, right? The way Rav Lichtenstein, an article writes that you know he had three main Rebbeim, right? That he, the Rav, right, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, and Rav Putner. And when distinguishing between the Rav and Rav Putner, Rav Lichtenstein said that the Rav was overawing, right? And Rav Putner was overwhelming, right? that Rav Putner, right, had this, the way he told us a story once was that David Cohen, who's a prominent posek in Brooklyn, and Talmud of Rav Putner, once disagreed with Rav Putner on something. Uh-oh. And Rav Putner called him up, when he was already a posek, like not like a stomp. Rav Putner called him up and was like yelling it on the phone, trying to get him to change the position, but Rav Cohen held his position and didn't change his mind. And when he hung up the phone, Rav Putner said, because his Talmud didn't agree with him and didn't agree to change his mind, today is for me like Yom Kippur. No, like Tisha B'Av, sorry. It's like Tisha B'Av. Right? So he said, like, he had that personality. So maybe in Rav Hudner's yeshiva, right, it was realistic, right? You'd cross the Rosh Yeshiva, everybody understands you're out. I don't know if that's always true, but anyways.
Even they slapped in the face, yeah.
Well, correct. Now what I
Is
gave...
Rosh Yeshiva
No, because he doesn't live there. Remember, it's both.
All right. Well, according to Tells. According to
Tosfos, it's both. Correct. But according to nobody, if you don't live there, right? No one says that if you don't live there, you're chayev. Right? Okay. What time is it?
Right now, 12:53.
Okay, so we have time. Let's see.
Let's do 22. Seems like we got time for that.
I don't know how much we're actually going to do of all these sources. In 26, what I'd given you, right? That was the full tshuva that we just referenced.
Tshuva.
Right, Rav Lichtenstein's whole tshuva was there, right? It's not, right, I don't think we'll go through the whole thing. I gave it to you, so you can read. Maybe I will. I'll just take you to the whole thing. I haven't decided yet. Okay, let's try to do the next point. Okay?
It's long.
17. Tzitzis, chovas agavra, huva lo chovas. Mana, she calls manchina, lobe, she talis patron, mi tzitzis, lafichan, avarach, al tzitzis, tzitzis, shein, mitzvah, al... Okay, Shulchan Aruch says that tzitzis, the mitzvah of tzitzis is wearing and not putting it on, and that's why you don't make a bracha when you put the tzitzis on, you make a bracha when you wear it. Okay?
Got it. Okay.
That's clear? That should be clear to you?
When you make it?
Right, the mitzvah of tzitzis is not to put the tzitzis on the baguette, it's to wear the baguette.
So how would that compare to mezuzah?
Like, we're going to see in a moment. Meaning, I only gave you that because the Nosei Kalim right on the Shulchan Aruch. Right? The Shulchan Aruch is not about mezuzah. Okay? The Morgan Avram writes, She'ein ba'siyasa mitzvah ela b'vishasa. There is no mitzvah in making tzitzis, it's only in wearing them. V'tzarech iyun. Ma'ishna b'mizuzah de'kaimelon she'tzarech levarech kishekov'a. Dosam nami kaimelon chovas hadarhu. V'kolz man she'en odar b'socha patur mi'mizuzah. So the Morgan Avram says, wait a second. Why then do you make a bracha when you put up a mezuzah? If what?
The mitzvah
is to live there. Right? Chovat hadar, it's a mitzvah to live in the house with the mezuzah. Right? Or have a mezuzah in the house that you're living on. Not to put it up.
Isn't the blessing for more of the protection of the house? Well, it's to put
it, the mitzvah's...
Good, so now tell me already, Misvara.
It's to put up the mezuzah in the house that you live. It's not to live in the house.
Yeah, right, remember
in
we said...
In the house you live in, you're an obligation.
So remember we said, what does Chovat Hadar mean? Does it mean that the obligation is on the person, in which case the Magen Avraham's question makes a lot of sense, right, which is...
That it's on the house.
It's on the... No, the Magen Avraham's question makes a lot of sense if it's on the person.
Right.
Right, because what's he saying? It's on the person.
Why do you make a bracha on the house?
So why are you making a bracha when you put on the house, but you haven't moved in yet?
Right, but it's,
right?
It's only...
But if it's a... What Chovat Hadar means is a chov that devolves on the house, on a Jewish inhabited house, so then...
You do put it on.
Then it's on you when you put it... When you move whatever.
Right, so, okay. Shimon, we moved in something new, which is the question of the bracha. Right? So Shulchan Aruch says that you make a bracha, obviously, on tzitzis when you wear them, not when you make the tzitzis, because the mitzvah is to wear it. So Magen Avraham says, but wait a second. How do we make a bracha when we put up a mezuzah if the obligation is to live in a house with a mezuzah? Right? Or have a mezuzah in the house you're living in. So what I said is, the question that Magen Avraham assumes what? That what does Chovat Hadar mean?
The person.
Person, right? That he's saying, and therefore there's no meaning to putting it on the house. How can you justify easily saying you make the bracha when you put it on the house? There's a chovat habayit, right? That chovat hadar doesn't mean it's on the person, it's on the house. That once it's a Jewish inhabited house, I have to put it on the house, and therefore, if I'm planning on living here, the mitzvah is as soon as I put it on the house. It makes a lot of sense. There is a chalos to putting it on the house. Right, that would be the easy answer to Magen Avraham's question. So he's in Chengos Vetos Menachos, L'chein Nir Ali, Destam, the Mils, Mizu, Kavok, Shadar, Besocha, L'chein Nivarach, Ali, Asiyasa. And then he answers, usually you put up the mezuzah when you're already living there. But therefore, even the Maskana, what does he think? Chovat Hadar is?
Person.
Is on the person. And he's saying, that's a technicality, right? It's a technicality. Usually you put up the mezuzah when you're already living in the house, right? Therefore, right? In some of the modern svarim, they point out that there's an easier answer to the question, was to say that the majority position seems to be that it's on the bayit, right?
Well, it's on the brachas on the. It kind of sounds like
the mitzvah is putting it on the bayit, and therefore the bracha is when you put it on the bayit.
Right.
Right? No, but it's only, you look at Rabbi Akiva,
you're only chayiv in putting up a mezuzah once you move into the house. So it kind of sounds like it's both Jewish and inhabited. It's going back with the first thing, that it's Jewish inhabited and Jewish. Oh.
Okay, we'll pick up tomorrow with Rabbi Akiva, okay?
All right.
Fine.